We're just over a week removed from Jamie Varner's huge lightweight title victory over the former WEC champion Razor Rob McCullough, and we spoke to him just a couple of months ago as he was gearing up for that huge opportunity. Came through last Wednesday in Albuquerque, and we're very excited to welcome him back to JerryPark.com to talk about the huge changes in his life. So first off, Jamie, congratulations from all of us at Jerry Park. How does it feel to be a champ now a week later?
Man, it still really hasn't sunk in. It's so surreal, but it's definitely a relief, you know. Finally, you know, all that hard training, all that hard work finally paid off.
You know, when we spoke to you a few months ago, we had just also spoke to Razor Rob, and even, you know, with the months leading up to the bout and even on the telecast itself, he seemed very confident, some might say even overconfident, and really had a sort of smug attitude to the whole thing that, you know, there was no way that you were going to take this belt away from him. Were you aware of all that, of how sort of cocky he was leading up to the bout?
Yeah, but that's just the way he is. That's the kind of champion that he's been. And that's how you got to be, man. Especially in our sport, you have to be confident. You have to be cocky. You can't, you know, show people any sort of weakness at all. And I don't really think that was his downfall. I think his downfall was underestimating me and definitely overlooking boxing credentials and my striking abilities.
Yeah, would you say that's the main thing that he, because everyone was talking about how great of a wrestler you were. Do you think that he, you know, that was his main mistake in the bout against you, of totally overlooking, you know, the power in your punches?
Yeah, well, you know, talk is cheap, and, you know, I didn't have any knockouts on my record. I had, you know, TKOs and stuff, and my past, you know, 3D fights that, you know, he's seen, you know, I've taken people down, didn't really stand up that much. So, you know, I was just sitting there, you know, I was, you know, always telling people, I got hands, but I never showcased them. So I don't think it was, you know, really his fault that he overlooked it. I just assumed that I was just, you know, talking, just, you know, another wrestler trying to say that he can strike. But I was a striker first. I grew up boxing. I was a boxer long before I was ever a wrestler. I started boxing in fourth grade. I was down at Madison Street Gym here in Phoenix, which is definitely not in the nicest part of town. And to say the least, I was the only white kid in that gym. And, you know, I got knocked around a little bit, took my bumps and bruises. And that's where I learned the basics, the, you know, boxing basics. I was real, real young, you know, learned how to throw straight punches. You know, I didn't really learn my head movement or my footwork until I met up with the Lallys over at Arizona Combat Sports. But, you know, learn how to throw straight punches and put combinations together and throw, keep my hands up. That was stuff that I had, you know, long before I ever stepped on a wrestling mat. So, and I boxed for a little while, then I ended up quitting. It was just, you know, hard to get me down there, and no one ever really worked out with me because I was the only white kid in there. And I was just able to, you know, pick it back up when I was 17 years old, started training, and started boxing full-time, or started boxing part-time, and then wrestling full-time when I was about 17 years old.
Now, all that said, did you expect the fight to end up the way it did? I mean, obviously you expect yourself to win, but did you think that you would actually knock him out this time? I know you're trying to prove to people that you have that power, but here's another guy who loves to stand and bang as well. So given all that, did this kind of turn out the way that you had envisioned?
You know what? Honestly, I visualized a fight thousands of times, man. Every single night for about 5 months, at least since September, I've envisioned the fight, and I just saw me taking him down and choking him out, either with a side choke or a guillotine. And I didn't picture myself. I couldn't envision myself, you know, no, knocking him out. I just never did. But
at first, it seemed as though there was a feeling out process. You finished him off in the third round, but the first couple of rounds, there were times where it seemed as both of you guys were a little tentative. What was the reason behind that? Was it just, you know, just the way the fight goes, or was there something that you were trying to figure out as the rounds went on?
You know, I think it was just kind of like my confidence. It just took my confidence a little while to build up. And after, you know, I was taking him down, but he just kept on popping right back up. And it just took me a while to finally, you know, to accept it that, you know, okay, you know, I can either, you know, keep trying to take him down and waste my energy, possibly get tired, like I did in the Hermes fight where, you know, I kept taking down Hermes Franca, And then I got, you know, wore myself out. And then the third round's when I got caught, or I can, you know, stand up, trade with him, take the chance of getting knocked out, but still conserve some energy to maybe set up the takedown or get the takedown later on in the fight. You know, I had to remember it's a 25-minute fight, and I go out so strong in my fights that I usually just wear myself out. So, you know, it was just a chance that I had to take and that I was willing to take, and I'm glad I took it.
Yeah, and there was actually one point in the fight where a little bit of controversy with you calling time out due to your mouthpiece. So what was the deal with all that? It's something that you don't often see someone calling a timeout in the middle of a fight.
Well, okay, boxing. There, I have seen other fights where people lose their mouthpiece and they're able to, they'll stop the fight and they'll get it. I just think they thought that right hand did a lot more damage than it really did. If you watch the fight, my knees didn't buckle. I ate it right on the mouth. I ate razor robs, you know, knockout punches, best punches, highlight reel punch. I ate it right on the mouth and knocked my mouthpiece out, but it didn't hurt me. I wasn't stunned. I shot for the takedown to give myself some time to recover because I didn't want to get my teeth broken. It's a lot easier to get knocked out without a mouthpiece. And then after I stuffed the takedown, I start throwing and, start throwing in exchange and then shot in for another takedown. And, you know, the action stopped. He wasn't pressing forward. We broke apart. He was actually, you know, took a couple steps back. So I think, you know, there's a break in the action. I definitely had my wits about me. You know, so I didn't really see it being like, you know, like the turning point in the fight or anything. You know, I ate a shot, you know, got my mouthpiece and got right back in it. You know, if he had me rocked, it would have taken a lot longer for me to recover, because when I dropped him, you know, there was about 15 seconds there, you know, where I hit him first. You could definitely tell he was out of it, you know, holding on, grabbing my shorts and stuff like that. And I wasn't doing that when he hit me.
So are you surprised that the ref didn't actually stop? Because a lot of the blame, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, is on you, saying, oh, you kind of broke, you know, his momentum to get your mouthpiece to call that timeout, when really it should have probably been the ref to say, hey, one sec, you know, the other fighter doesn't have his mouthpiece.
Yeah, well, I don't know if Steve Mazzagatti saw it, you know, hit the mat or whatever, but, you know, it doesn't matter. I wasn't rocked. I ate his best punch. I didn't get dropped. I didn't take a knee, you know, and he wasn't able to finish me. I hit him. I was able to finish him. He hit me. He wasn't able to finish me. So I just, you know, I don't, obviously it wasn't that great of a punch, or, you know, it just wasn't as effective as a lot of those people thought it was.
And how about that finish? Are you surprised that you were, I mean, it seemed as though you knock him down, get up, knock down, get up. And at a point, it seemed as though he was really done. Are you surprised that you had to take that many punches? He had to take that many punches for Mazzagatti to actually step in. Meaning, you know, it seemed as though by the time he actually stepped in, that Razor Rob was fully out of it by then.
Yeah, well, he's a tough dude, man. He ate some good shots throughout that whole fight, man. He ate some really, really good shots. I was definitely pelting him. I hit him with a bunch of hooks. You know, I hit him with some really stiff jabs. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me that he fought like a warrior. He fought like a champion. And he didn't just go down with one shot. It took a bunch of shots. So, no, it doesn't surprise me. Razor Rob's he's a very tough guy, a very tough opponent. And it did not surprise me that it took more than one.
All right, so what are you hearing about, I know you're still kind of celebrating and feeling good about yourself, but what are you hearing in terms of when your next fight is, your first title defense for that lightweight title?
Well, I'm crossing my fingers. I'm hoping for June, and it'll be the winner of Marcus Hicks and Ed Ratcliffe.
All right, so yeah. So Razor Rob's not getting the rematch right off the bat?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think so. I think, you know, there are other guys that are more deserving of it than him right away.
Do you think at some point, though, would you be up for that rematch if you get by that June fight against whoever it is?
Yeah, of course, man. I'm a fighter, man. This is what I do. This is the job that I signed up for. And, you know, I love to compete, and I love to compete against top competition. So, yeah, whenever, wherever. You know, it's my job. You know, I've committed myself to this, and I'm going to do this until I can't possibly do it anymore.
Final question. Carlos Condit, who was also victorious on that card, retaining his welterweight title belt, Mentioned that at some point he was interested in unifying the UFC and WEC titles. Is that something that's sort of on your radar? I know that, you know, obviously Zuffa owns both promotions and they try to keep them as separate entities, and I think thus far doing a pretty good job at it. But do you ever hear of any talks of that, at some point they're going to look to unify these belts?
I wouldn't have gone to the WEC unless I thought they were going to unify.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say about that. I would be, you know, the best in the world, and the only way to do that is to go and beat whoever the lightweight champion is in the UFC, whether it's Sean Sherk or BJ Penn. I do look forward to fighting them someday further down in my career. I feel like I need a little bit more time to mature. You know, I've already matured so much. Every fight I've gotten better and better. So I feel like with a couple more fights, I'll be ready for, you know, the top competition in the world.
All right, and so you're the man at the WEC at 155. Obviously, Sherk and BJ Penn fighting for the lightweight title May 24th. Got to ask you, who do you like in that bout?
You know what? Both of them are great guys, but I think BJ Penn is the best fighter, pound for pound fighter in the world.
Okay.
I think he's the man, but Sherk's game plan is so tough and so tight. Like, I mean, he's very, very good at what he does. He can take people down, he can hold them down, and he constantly works without giving an inch. Can't really stop his fight and stand him up because he's always doing something, whether it's passing, mounting, you know, like punching, whatever on the ground, he's always working. But I have to give the edge to BJ. I think BJ is just a little bit more well-rounded as far as, you know, striking goes and his jiu-jitsu and his wrestling defense. So I give the edge to BJ Penn, but I think Sean Sherk's strength and wrestling ability and hard work could play a factor in the fight if it goes, you know, the third, fourth, and fifth round.
All right, Jamie. Well, again, congratulations. Huge victory last week. And really, you know, you were so gracious and classy with your victory and all the great things you said about Razor Rob. It's been a pleasure watching you kind of grow in your career and finally getting this title. And we look forward to, you know, that title defense in June and beyond.
All right. Well, thank you so much for this opportunity. And thank you for, you know, finding me important enough to interview. I really appreciate it, man. So you guys definitely have been here for the whole ride, and I really appreciate it. And I want to thank MTX Audio for all their support, LG Sports Marketing, and Arizona Combat Sports, all my training partners over there. Love you guys.